You are now tuning in to Nude Radio with your host, Kenny Heflin, and I hope you all are having a great week. Yes, I've missed you. My God. Y'all, before we get into the topic of this week, I want you to make sure that you subscribe to Nude Radio, streaming on all platforms where you can hear a podcast. Also, follow us on Twitter/X at NudeRadio101 and the same handle on Instagram at NudeRadio101. And if you want to reach out to me personally, then by all means, follow me on Instagram at Kenny Heflin and let me know exactly how you feel about this episode or just about season 4 in general, because we are taking it to new levels, baby. Oh my God. But just to get into this week, I wanted to touch on this new show that I've been hearing about. And listen, the internet and the Twitter/X streets, they've been going at it. It's about Jerrod Carmichael. And if you're not familiar with Jerrod Carmichael, he is an actor and comedian. He's been on so many different shows. He's had his own show. He has a documentary out. Like, I mean, he's been like on shows like Saturday Night Live. Like, yeah. So for the last few days and weeks and stuff, there's been a lot of hoopla about him and this show and everything, and his documentary. And he has a new show that's on HBO Max, and I wanted to get into it. You know, I saw like a lot of conversations going on about it on the platforms, and I wanted to, you know, take a look at it. And of course, I was behind because there's so many shows that's going on all at the same time. It's hard to keep up, but I'm usually always late getting to the damn shows. But most importantly about the show, the first episode at least, I got to finally watch it, and he was basically documenting just the fact that, you know, he's come out the closet a couple years ago and just his journey into acceptance with his family, his friendships and everything, right? But a part that really stuck out to me was that he is best friends with Tyler, the Creator, the rapper, Tyler, the Creator. So basically, in a nutshell, Jerrod confessed his romantic feelings towards his best friend, Tyler, the Creator. And Tyler, the Creator, responded back and called him like, "You stupid bitch." And just totally avoided him for a long time. So on the first episode, you get to see the behind the scenes of what is going on in Jerrod's life as he's preparing for the Noir show, and just like everything that's happening with just like roles and things he's booked for, but then again, the acceptance. And he's also waiting to hear back from his best friend, Tyler. So Tyler basically avoided this man for like weeks, wasn't really responding to his text messages, like calls, nothing. Like, he was just always busy. So it was funny when Jerrod actually said, "There's rich people," I think it was like, "rich people or famous people are never that busy." So it's just really funny because he eventually got to end up, you know, hanging out with his best friend, Tyler, and they talked about it. And it was very interesting because what I did see is that Jerrod, he displayed something that we don't see often, and something that made me feel a certain level of emotion and empathy towards him. And that was the fact that he was so vulnerable. He was so transparent in that moment. And he was being the grown-up in the room at the time. And Tyler's adorable. You know, he has like very childlike, you know, mannerisms and behaviors and stuff and reactions to shit, but he's so adorable. But at the same time, in his cutesiness and his childishness, this is a grown man who has been avoiding his best friend because he felt uncomfortable, which is understandable. You know, I think that I feel as if we can't get mad at how people perceive us. We can't get mad at how people react or don't react to our request or our truths. And we can't control, you know, how they go about it, how they receive that information. You know, I know that a lot of times, especially when it's something that we are very passionate about, we have an idea and a vision of what that would look like. And we look at the best case scenarios most times without really picturing and like really having on the same plate that there's certain worst case scenarios of how the response could be, right? So it made me feel a way because I've been there. You know, I've been there, you know. So just to really wrap it up with the show, at least, you know, Tyler was like, well, how would you had rather me respond? And Gerard was just like, you know, like, hey, like you could have just said, okay, like, you know, I don't really feel that way, yada, yada, yada. Let's move on. Let's go get some hamburgers or whatever, you know. Because Tyler basically told Gerard, like, I see you as a brother. Like, he said that I didn't know how to respond. And what did you want me to say, at least, you know? But he said that he sees him as family. So I kind of felt that in that moment, because Gerard was so vulnerable and so open, that he was expecting that, you know, okay, well, if my best friend does not feel the same way of how I feel about him, then let's talk about that and let's quote unquote move on and just go about life as if nothing happened. Now, obviously, I'm not in Gerard's body. I'm not in his mind. I'm not Professor X. I cannot control or read his mind. But from an outside perspective, I just feel like because he was so vulnerable and he was expecting so much, I think that one of his expectations that probably would have led him down the wrong path had Tyler responded the way he would have preferred and went about things as if it didn't happen. I kind of feel like, again, I'm not in Gerard's body and his mind. I'm just an outsider, right? I just feel as if it's too soon. And then there's also, it's too raw and it's too new, because there's a level of anxiety. There's a level of balls that you have to gather to get enough courage to really be that open and that vulnerable in a moment like that. And especially with somebody that you love and care about so deeply. You feel me? Like, you feel as if you're a raw nerve and just any wind blows, anything can just irritate you. So I kind of felt like, you know, his expectation of things just going back as normal, if Tyler had responded back to him how he would have preferred, it would have been unrealistic and it would have also still hurt him in the long run. And I kind of feel like, you know, in those moments, you need to take a break, speak about it to your friend or whoever it is, right? And whenever there's a level of unrequited love or affection or intimacy, and you are not cut off, but you're friend zoned, it makes things very difficult. And it really makes it hard to like actually be a real friend to that person, because you're low key hurt. And that's understandable. That's totally understandable. And I just kind of feel like, you know, if Tyler had responded back to him and went about things the same way as, you know, like shit was normal, I kind of just felt like, you know, Gerard would have been in a situation where it's just like low-key salt is being sprinkled on his wound. And again, we can't blame Tyler for that, right? Like, we can't blame Tyler for that, because in this scenario, he would have responded to Gerard how Gerard would have rather been, you know, responded to and let down in a way, even though this isn't his Gerard's best case scenario, where Tyler would say, you know what, I love you too, let's make it work, let's try it out. I just feel like it was unrealistic to even have that be on the table, because that's painful. And I don't know if you guys have ever had this happen to you before. And I think everybody who, all of y'all who's listening to this episode, I'm pretty sure that we've all been in situations where we have spent quality time. We have practiced non-physical intimacy with someone and built a friendship and got to a point where you kind of started to develop romantic feelings towards that person. You know, it definitely helps that the person is attractive, that you find that person attractive, but also this person is doing certain things that you appreciate, that you look for in a partner and everything like that. So it's understandable that without that being checked, you can definitely get into a scenario where you are like, fuck, I'm not supposed to feel this way about my best friend, but here I am, you know? So I want y'all to reach out to me, whether it be on Twitter, X, or Instagram. Like, I want to hear your stories, because there's moments that we go through, and this happens when we're adolescents, teenagers, adults. Like, it can happen whenever, you know? So I want to know, like, have y'all ever been in a situation where you have mistakenly developed romantic feelings for a friend? I would like to know, how did that turn out? Did you say it? Did you actually practice some honesty with that friend or best friend? And yeah, what was the response? I'm curious, because I'm going to tell y'all a little story time. So this was some years back, and I was 25 at the time. And it's funny, because I actually talked about some of this on the second episode of New Radio. Yeah, the second episode. And I talked about this episode with my best friend, Jenny. And y'all know we love Jenny, right? And we chatted about it, you know, and kind of glazed over it. But I guess after hearing and seeing this episode of Gerard Carmichael's show, I felt a way, and I'm like, oh my God, I remember this feeling. And I just shook my head, you know. So a couple years back, when I was 25, I was just I was still relatively new to Los Angeles. You know, I think I had been here at that point like 2.5 years. And I was just minding my business. I was getting my work done. I was working with an amazing premium alcohol brand at the time, like doing the branding for them. And I was making money. I was living the nightlife. It was so fun. Oh my God, 25 was a great time. But I met this guy at a Christmas party initially. Well, I remember he said that he had saw me. I don't remember him. I remember every fucking body. But anyways, I was friends with his girlfriend at the time. And I met him. We to fast forward a little bit, he and I, like, we hung out at a Christmas party, and we ended up, you know, hanging out for the first time. I want to say he came to my loft at the time, and we're supposed to have just like caught up and like talked about like some acting stuff, because that's when I was like trying to be an actor and he was wanting to be an actor and stuff like that. And like we just were talking about just normal ass shit, right? So he comes to my place and I'm thinking that we were just gonna grab a cup of coffee and a slice of pie or whatever and talk and brainstorm or whatever, right? So we ended up going on what was like an 11-hour trip around Los Angeles. I mean, I remember we went to go run errands with him. I met some of his friends. We went to, shit, we went to a bar, play pool. We're getting to talk and getting to know each other and stuff, talking about pretty much everything under the sun. Y'all know I'm Candid Kenny Chow. And he was also the same way. We went to, where was it? It was this place in the middle. Well, I guess it's Atwater Village. If you guys are familiar with Los Angeles, Atwater Village is there. Going into Glendale, there's this bridge. It's beautiful. It just overlooks like the mountains and stuff. It's so pretty. But we parked the car. We were in a car just like talking and just having a moment, you know, just a genuine, pure moment. And we just walked and walked and strolled around and stuff. And then he took me to this other bar, which was like a wine bar, it was like a cellar and stuff. And he basically was just showing me like all of his favorite places. And he's like, I want to show you this. I want to show you this. I want to show you that. And I'm here for it. You know, I had a great time. And I was just like, what's going on? And then I remember towards the end of the night, we ended up going back to his place and we just chilled at his place and just kept talking and everything. And he was like, okay, well, are you hungry? And I'm like, yeah, I could use some food and stuff. And like, we walked outside and I was cold. And he's like, are you cold? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a little chilly, whatever, but I'll be fine. Like, I'm from Detroit, you know? So I remember he took off his jacket and he put it on me as we were walking to the pizza place that was around the corner from his apartment. And we had some pizza, like we shared. It was like this delicious, it was a good pizza. And then he was like, I want to take you to my rooftop. So we walked back to his place and we went onto the rooftop and we just like hung out and talked more and more and more. And he eventually ended up driving me back home and dropping me off and everything. And that was that. And I just remember kind of feeling confused because I know people who do nice things, right? Be it male or female or anything. Like, I know when people are being kind. I receive it as that. I'm not reading into it. But this night that we shared was very interesting. And I remember asking some of my close people, you know, I asked my parents, both parents, I asked like my close friends at the time, and I didn't really disclose who it was, but I pretty much gave them the spark notes of what my night was like. And because I was just like, that was really nice. But then also, was that a date? Because I'm like, what was that? And I remember my dad was like, look, well, I don't know. He probably didn't mean for it to be a date, but that was a date. And everybody was just like, yeah, that seems like, okay, like what y'all, all right, well. So I just left it at that. Because from my vantage point, he had a girlfriend and he presented himself off as straight. So from that first day, the next day, he would call me. He would want to hang out. We would go hang out. We would do all this stuff. And we just continue getting closer and closer as the days and the weeks happened to go by. And I remember, I don't remember if it was probably about I think it was maybe like month three or four, I want to say. I think because if we start hanging out in January, it was like the beginning of January, I want to say probably around March of that year, we had started getting even more closer. And just leading from like that window space of January through March, we were seeing each other every single day. Like he wanted to see me every day. And I was having a good time. You know, I was just like, oh shit, like I've made like a new friend. You know, we are both creatives and everything like that. And this is cool. And I want to say around like March or so is when things kind of like got blurry. And because it's been so many years ago now, like I don't really remember exactly how it started. But we would hang out at his apartment, and while his girlfriend was gone at work and stuff, he would pick me up and everything and take me back to his place, and we would hang out and just be like kicked up. And I don't remember exactly how we got on it, but I remember we obviously, like, he used to always ask about, within like those months and stuff, he would ask about like my sexual history and just like, you know, what I do during sex, you know, what my positions are and everything like that. You know, if I'm a top, a bottom, or reverse, and everything. He would tell me about like his sexual fantasies and the things that he's open to and whatnot. And we had just open dialogue. And like I say, I don't really remember the day and what, how it happened, but we would hang out on his couch and we would just be like laying down together and, you know, we started massaging each other. And like I say, I don't exactly remember like what the, how it even led to that. I don't really know. I remember we used to spend a lot of time, like he had a small couch and we would just, I would sit down on a couch or lay down on a couch or whatever, and he would lay down next to me. It was a small couch. And I don't know. I don't remember exactly how it happened, but I think it was, I don't know. Like one time he kicked his foot up in my lap or something, and we were talking, and we were like, We didn't have a shirt on. It was hot. It was, y'all, I can't even believe I'm talking about this. So it was like hot out. It was getting warm. It was springtime. And he would take his shirt off. I take my shirt off. We were like barefoot. We had our pants on or shorts or whatever. But like I said, I don't remember exactly how it fucking led to this, but I didn't take it. But he put his foot in my lap and we were just talking and I gave him a foot massage and he just laid there. And then I put mine in his, because we would either lay next to each other, like head to head, or the opposite, like our heads were different, you know, directions on the couch. I would lay at the top half, he would lay his head at the south half, bottom half, whatever. And we would just massage each other. And then I want to say, you know, I remember he was trying to get me like prepped and ready to like go to his hometown, which is my favorite city of all time. I love San Francisco. And it was just like, oh yeah, it's like all this gay shit. And like, we can do this, we can do that, we can go here. It was so strange, but it was just interesting because I was going with the flow. Like I said, I was 25 and I was just really in the moment. And I remember things kept getting progressively more intimate physically, right? And like I said, he would always ask about like sexual stuff, like what I do sexually. And we would always massage each other. And we used to wrestle a lot. Maybe that's how we started. Cause we used to, like, he would like to wrestle me. And we would be at his apartment, you know, shirts off, all the things. We'd just be wrestling and shit. And I remember this one time we ended up on his bed and he's like trying to pin me down. I was stronger than him, but I was faking, like, you know, he was really doing something and really pinning me down. And I remember he straddled me and got on top of me and snatched my belt off my waist and tied it over my head and was like, call me daddy and say daddy and shit like that or whatever. And I'm, again, acting like he's like really holding me down because he's just so strong. And we wrestled each other down to the floor and he was still on top of me. I was on my stomach and he was now like straddling me, like on top of me. And I could feel some stiffness happening in his private areas on my booty cheek. And he like jumped up and like moved and tried to act like, you know, nothing was happening, but we continued. But he like shifted his pants or whatever. And I remember, y'all, I was so fucking horny. I remember I was so turned the fuck on by that moment. I was so horny. I was so turned on. Now, baby, I was so fucking horny. It was ridiculous. I could have cried. I was that horny because I was, at that point, it was, you know, April, May-ish, you know, that year. Like I say, the last couple of months, we had got physically intimate, not sexual, but progressively, it was just getting very close. And we were doing like very questionable things, and he was asking very questionable questions, you know. And I remember it was just like a lot of pent up energy that I needed to expel. And I was starting to feel something. Like I said, I don't know exactly what was going on in his head. I'm not a mind reader. I can just speak on some, on my mind space at that time. But I was starting to feel something at that point. And obviously, like, I knew that I couldn't do anything at that point because I was afraid of possibly, losing a friendship because we spent a lot of time building a foundation of friendship. Just two dudes, one's openly gay, the other one is gay pending. I don't fucking know, but he presents as straight. That's all I know, right? It was very odd because we would sit up there, massage each other. He couldn't wait to get me back to his apartment so we could like just have our time together. And within those times, like we just were close. And he would I remember this one moment, he snatched my phone and like went through my pictures and stuff and was looking at nudes in my phone. And he was like, "What is, who is this? And whose dick is this or whatever?" And I was like, "What?" I'm like, "Get off my phone." Like, I'm like, "Give me my phone, give me my phone." And we start wrestling. So he starts wrestling me and shit like that or whatever. And then he hops on top of me. And then he still has my phone. So he goes to another picture, and I'm like, "Give me my phone and stuff." And that's when he ended up clicking on one of my own nudes. And I was like, "That's okay. Like, that's me. Like, that's mine. That's my dick." So he was like, "Oh, whoa. Okay." And he kept looking at it, and he was like, making fun of it. "Oh, this is Kenny's dick. Oh, Mr. Big Dick," or whatever. Like, he was, And I'm like, "Give me my phone," or whatever. So I finally get my phone back. And he wanted to see another one. So I was like, "Okay." So I showed him another picture of my dick. And that's when he started talking about his and all of that stuff. And yeah, we continued this for so fucking long. It was madness. He took me to his home, city, fell in love with San Fran. We had a little moment where we did get into it. And I remember I was so pissed. I was so pissed because something had went down where I felt like I was being just not considered, not thought about, all the things, played to the left. And I was ready to drive back to LA like that night. I was that pissed. And we ended up talking about it. Like, it was a very awkward conversation, but I remember that's when he had said, "I hate when you're mad at me. I don't want you to be mad at me." And that's when I said, "Okay, like, I'll drop it. I moved on from it." And it was very interesting because as the months again kept going, we were seeing each other 6 times out the week. Doing the same shit, exploring, going back to his place, being physically intimate, again, it wasn't getting sexual, but it was a moment where I remember I was being dropped off by him. And I remember I got on the elevator and I waved to him goodbye through, the lobby and stuff like that. And he was pulling off and the elevator closed. And I thought about him. And then I felt like this sinking feeling. And a tear, one dramatic ass tear, fell from my right eye. And I said, I remember that's exactly what I said as the elevator was going up to my loft. I said, fuck. And I shook my head and I got back into my room, and my world had been turned upside down because I knew that this could potentially be the end of what was a really nice relationship. What started off as a very pure friendship for, like, at that point, I want to say, like, the last 5, 6 months. And we got really, 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 really close. Like I say, and it's no lie, we were seeing each other 6 times out the week, if not 7 times. And when we weren't together, he's texting me, "What you doing? I miss you." I'm texting him like, "Oh, I'm at the movies," or, "Oh, I'm doing this," or whatever. Like, "I miss you too," and stuff. Like, it was so strange. Like, even now thinking back on it, because it was starting to affect his relationship with his girlfriend. And his girlfriend was starting to, I don't, again, I'm not in her head, but I'm pretty sure something was going off in her mind. But she was definitely getting pissed. She would passively say things or make certain comments and stuff because she was, I mean, playing a back seat at this point in our weird friendship. And she wasn't, he wasn't spending time with her. He just always wanted to spend time with me. So I used to tell him, I'm like, dude, like, you need to hang out with your girlfriend, yada, yada, yada. And that may have been the moments where we didn't see each other every single day of the week, right? But in those moments, he would just text me. He would send me screenshots, or not screenshots, but he would send me like selfies and shit. He'll be like, "Oh, we're at this rooftop," or, "Oh, we're at this bar," "Oh, we're hanging out with her friends, and I don't want to be here. Like, I miss you. Like, what are you doing?" And I'll be like, "Well, you got to do what you got to do, yada, 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 and I miss you too," and stuff. And it was very sweet. But it was also twisted and it didn't feel right because I knew once I thought about this dude and that tear fell from my right eye, I knew that this was something that would not end well. And I say that because for my queer individuals listening to the show, we have had those moments throughout our years, right? We've had those moments where we were either in very innocent, pure friendships with other, most times, people of the same gender, right? And we're queer, they're straight presenting, right? That's all we know. But there's things that's happening. There's a lot of closeness with it, and you may have like misread certain gestures or whatever the case, right? and you start to grow an attachment to this person romantically. So whether it's in movies or TV shows or books, I mean, we see it all the time. We hear stories that with those situations where the person, one person's queer, one person's straight, and either they get caught up or they disclose their romantic feelings towards that straight friend, things go wonky. You know, we've heard plenty of stories. Things get violent. Things get abusive, physically or verbally. You know, there's a lot of embarrassment that happens. There's a lot of trauma that can happen, and especially when that friend may potentially not have the words or not have the maturity emotionally to actually be there to like kind of like nurture us in that moment, but also still turn us down. So I'm pretty sure that we've similar all been in situations like that. This was, for me, this wasn't a situation that was like that. Mine was similar to what I've seen, you know, growing up watching certain coming of age movies with a queer couple, and you know, the gay guy is being courted by the straight guy, and the straight guy is doing things, and they're doing things together that is very physical and very much not what most quote-unquote straight heterosexual males would do, especially with an openly gay friend or best friend. You know, again, all of the stuff that me and this guy was doing or actually having like full-blown sex. So we usually know within those coming-of-age stories and movies and books and things like that, like shit does not work the fuck out. It gets, again, violent, abusive, embarrassing, and all right, downright traumatic. So that tear fail, because I said, fuck. And I said, I done fucked up. I'm in a pickle. And the crazy thing about it was, I knew that I was in a fucked up situation at that point, but I also knew that if I said something, or if I started to do a slow fade at that time, because again, I was in my 20s, if I was doing a slow fade or whatever the fuck that I did to kind of protect myself, whatever I was thinking about, that it would have looked as if something was wrong. It would have looked strange, because me and him, we see each other every fucking day. You know, like I said, I was working within the bar spaces. He was working within the bar spaces. Within those times that we were working, he would call me and be like, come, you know, up to the bar and like just hang out with me. Like I'm alone and all this stuff or whatever. Or if I'm working a promotion event or stuff, like he would come with me. And it was just so cute, because I would be working and he would just be sitting there watching me, you know, as I'm working a room and doing my thing and stuff like that, and I'll come in and check on him and stuff. And it was so strange, but it was very pure. It was, I don't know. It was very conflicting. And I thought about slow fading. I thought about just going ghost or whatever, but I also knew that he would be like, what the fuck happened? You know, why are you acting like this and stuff, you know? So yeah, I mean, for months we continued that. I ended up meeting one of my now best friends at a birthday party. I was a plus one, ended up meeting him. And I remember I was like, I need to make some other friends outside of him, because I do have other friends, but I need to make some other guy friends to kind of give us like some type of separation. Again, his girlfriend is complaining low key, you know, that they're not spending time. He's always with me and yada, yada, yada. And I need to kind of like step away from him in a way. And I remember when I started to get close to my now best friend, the guy, he was not happy. He would talk shit about him. He would get so jealous. He would get so jealous because, again, he was doing something that he didn't necessarily want to do. And he told me this. He didn't want to hang out with his girlfriend, but he felt like he was being forced to. And because I was finding another channel and befriending another guy, he did not like that. He used to call him, he used to call him by his Instagram name in like, in a negative way. He would talk so much shit about him and ask me all these questions and stuff. And I remember this one day, I'm like, dude, chill out. Like, we're just friends. We're just hanging out. And he would be like, yeah, y'all are posting these pictures and on Instagram and you know, like the fuck, you know. And I remember he was asking me all of these questions one day. And he asked me this. He got so mad. He was like, do you love him? Is his dick bigger than mine? And I remember I said, whoa, hold up. I'm like, that's just a friend. And he's like, well, do you love him? Like, what's going on with that? Like, and I'm like, no. And no, his, I didn't know what size my best friend's dick was. That, again, he was my best friend then at the time, but I didn't know what size the dick was at the time. He was so jealous. Like, we would get into couple spats. It was a lot. And we were able to share vulnerability with each other because he was very open with how he felt about me. It was, oh God, I can't believe like I actually lived through this. But within our moments of spending quality time together, which would go on for hours, we would make plans. He would say, you know, I want us to get a place together and, you know, we can travel and do this and we can do that. And it was so strange, y'all. It was so strange. And within those moments, we still, you know, like I say, he couldn't wait to get me back to his place because we would have like that time to like be physical without having sex. Because again, at that moment, I'm like, I know what the fuck I want to do. I'm seeing certain nonverbal cues from him. Obviously, I've been seeing these nonverbal cues. That's very much not of a heterosexual man. I'm seeing these things. I'm seeing these actions, but I don't want to be that person who oversteps and scares him away. That was in my thought process at the time. I was 25, y'all. I'm like, I do not want to scare him away. If we're in the middle of doing things and I kiss him or I meet him halfway or I back my ass up on him or I don't know, grab his dick. I don't know. I just knew that I didn't want to potentially scare him away because what I had realized was that I didn't want to ruin our friendship because we built that solid friendship off of things. it just happened to progress into other things, right? But we built that solid friendship. I really didn't want to fuck that up. I didn't want to move too fast. I did not want to scare him away. But I had realized within all of the time that we spent together and all of the very vulnerable, very personal conversations that we would have together, but then also the longing for each other when we were apart, I was falling in love with him. So it's like, I know this is not right, but I done fucking fell in love with this nigga. Like, the fuck? I want to walk away and I want to slow fade away because this is not right. I feel bad for his girlfriend, but at the same time, I don't know exactly what's going on. He's straight. I'm gay. I do not and have never, ever courted a straight man before. I have always preferred and always went for and dated or had sex with gay men, very much outwardly gay men. I've always been that way. I've never been somebody who chased straight men. And I just felt bad. And I knew I needed to get away, but I was so torn because I'm like, fuck, I want to see him. And he wants to see me. Oh, it was a lot. But we spent a lot of time, you know, he would get into this metaphysical bag and talk about, you know, we're like twin flames and all these things. He would buy me books and talk about like our connection. And I remember because I still have all the text messages, but I remember telling him, I don't want to be that to you. And he's like, why? And I'm like, because this is not right. This is not right what we're doing. This is so fucking blurry. This is so messy. I don't want you in this type of way. Not like this. So as the months continued to go on, you know, we kept doing what we were doing and we traveled together. We went on trips together. He would do shit during those trips. And we took our one-on-one weekend trips together. It was a lot. Yeah. But it got to the point where, you know, we had reached like a year of being friends. And I was being haunted every single day, because I have always been someone who prides themselves on their communication skills. I have always been someone who keeps it 100, you know, right? And here it was, I was scared to address the pink elephant in the room. Because again, I didn't want to ruin the friendship. I did not want to ruin our connection because it had gotten multi-layered at this point, right? And my close friends, they knew about it. They would see it. He and I would hang out and go amongst mutual friends and we would move as a unit. It was a lot of energy between us two. We would enter in to spaces and people would just, we literally moved in unison. It was a lot. It was like a force. And I've never felt that since. I haven't felt that since. But it got to the point where I remember Adele released her album 25. Is it 25? And after months and months and months and months and months, you know, of spending all this time together, being intimate, doing all these things, being affectionate with each other, all the things, right? After all this time of every single day that I'm being hunted by my feelings for him, but also knowing that I need to speak up and potentially get the fuck up out of here or what? Like, it was just a lot. But Adele, when she came out with, "Is it all I ask?" Oh, baby. Ooh, y'all, I got goosebumps right now. Go listen to Adele's song, All I Ask. Huh. What a song. So, pretty much without singing it, because I don't want to get copyrighted, okay? But basically, in the song, she says, "All I ask is if this is the last time or the last night that I spend with you, hold me like I'm more than just a friend." She tells him to give her a memory that she can use. Oh. Damn. She says, "I don't need your honesty. It's already in your eyes." And she like, "If this is the last time I spend with you, hold me like I'm more than just a friend. Give me a memory that I can choose. Let's do those things that lovers do. Because you may be the last love that I ever have." Bitch. Bitch. Damn. I'm trying not to get emotional. I remember listening to that song and I replayed it one day. It had just came out and I kept replaying it. I kept replaying it because I think she had originally, I heard it while she was singing it on concert and the CD hadn't came out yet. And I kept replaying it. When the album actually came out, I kept replaying on my iPod. And that song gave me the courage to finally speak up and to address the pink elephant in the room because there was so much tension, there was so much anxiety, there was so much pressure within my body and my mind and my spirit that I've been holding my tongue, I've been holding myself back physically. You know, from not giving in into the physical temptations, there's a lot of restraint that I practiced. A lot of restraint in those moments because looking back on it, if I would have made the first move, technically, if I would have made the first move, even though we were doing all these things because of him, I don't know. I don't know if he would have went along with it. I don't know if that would have again scared him off, and then you just never know. But I just knew that I didn't want to jeopardize our relationship. And my friends who are close to me, they're like, "Kenny, you need to say something. You need to say something." Like, we see how y'all are. Like, he literally, like, this dude loves you. You know, it was a lot. But after listening to All I Ask from Adele, I got the courage. And in a text message, I remember I said everything I needed to say. I told him that within this time, I have developed feelings towards him. And I felt that it was necessary for me to take a break from him. And I remember he responded saying that, you know, he cared about me, but he was straight and basically was like, stop playing, you know, stop playing, like, less what? So is this the end of us? Like, what's going on? Like, stop playing, like, you know, let's hang out, like, let's go, like, let's spend time together. And I'm like, no, I am letting you know that I need to take a break from you. I need to take a break from you. And he started to get angry, and he started to talk shit about one of my friends at the time that he didn't really care too much for and everything like that. And that friend was bisexual. It was a lot. And he would talk shit about him, and he got so angry because I was pulling away from him. And I told him why. And I honestly felt like, you know, I didn't know how much time I needed. But I knew that I needed time away from him because it wasn't going anywhere. You know, we were moving at his pace. And whenever I felt like we would get to our most personal of moments, physically or emotionally, it was like we were moving. At like, okay, is he getting closer to coming out? Like, what's about to happen? And I realized that I wasn't moving him forward to anything. I realized that in that relationship that we had established, that I was a crutch for him. Like I say, we were moving at his pace. And for me, I needed to get out of there quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because again, I'm a gay man. I like gay men. I date gay men. I want to marry an openly gay man, right? Ideally. I would like for my gay male husband to come from a supportive family, like my family is supportive. Fingers crossed. So there's a lot that we put up with. There's a lot of patience that we have and build when we're in infatuation or in love with someone. Because you think that, okay, I can go amongst all of these crowds of people with him. I can go on this journey with him. I know it's not going to be easy. It's this very, he comes from a very like machismo, very hyper masculine upbringing. Like, I know it's not going to be easy. And I'm talking to my dad, I'm talking to my mom, and, you know, our mutual friends to a certain extent without giving too much away, you know, and everybody's like, bitch, y'all are together. Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, you need to. And I'm like, okay. So when I finally did, you know, he did not respond well. He would call me at the middle of the night after work, drunk as fuck, cussing, crying, yelling. He was getting into fights. Like road rage type shit. It was a lot. Like, he was spiraling. You know, calling me, I just don't understand. Why are you doing this to us? And why are you doing this to me? And dude, stop it. Like, oh my God, like, I'm going crazy. Like, it was a lot. And I used to be like, please get home safely. Like, you know, text me when you get home. In your bed. But don't call me with this bullshit. It was a lot, y'all. But we decided to meet up. I want to say it was maybe about, it was a couple of weeks after I had told him how I felt about him and stuff. And again, with me telling him that, I never expected him to take that information and say, "You know what, Kenny, I love you," in that type of way too. Now, we got into that before, but I wasn't looking for him to just like drop his life and just be like, "Let's run off into the sunset, hold hands and jump on rainbows and ride on unicorn backs and get married." I wasn't expecting that. I was doing this for me. I was doing this because all I knew is I've been sitting on this secret for a very long time. We continue to do these things and nobody's addressing it. Let me go ahead and address this before I explode. And let me move away and take some time until I can get my bearings together, you know. So we met up and we basically made the decision that, you know, I was just like, I think that it's best that we just go our separate ways. And we went our separate ways. Yeah, we went our separate ways. And I remember that following year, I felt so strange, so detached from the world because I had spent pretty much a year with this guy every single day for hours on end. We have been moving around and doing all the things, and I had to find my place in the world without him. I have never spent that much time with somebody in my life. Ever. Ever. Never, ever. And I felt like a large part of me was missing. And I say this as an analogy, but I don't know. It's weird. Like I felt like I was missing a limb. Like I felt like I was missing a leg. I felt so imbalanced because I had to part ways with this person that I truly cared about. It was the relationship and friendship was getting toxic, you know, and I had to do what was best for me. And especially because he was being childish about it, because he was getting mad because I wouldn't give him what he wanted. He wanted things to be back to normal. He wanted things to move back at his comfortable pace. You feel me? And I had to go my way. But I remember I had to start. I remember I was going on a trip once a month, I want to say, and just trying to find like my individuality and my identity again. It was very difficult ending that relationship, but also parting ways and really standing on business. It was really difficult. It was really difficult. So, just recapping that, now that this is like years later, I don't know. It's just, I think I want for us who are listening to this episode, I want us to really, in those moments where we do happen to find ourselves in friendships that get a little bit gray, rather it's both parties are involved or it's one-sided, it's really best for us to communicate that. And I do truly feel that it's best that you have to take some time away from that friend. Because you're not going to see them as a, like, them friend zoning you is not going to automatically switch off, like, okay, well, I don't have feelings for them anymore. You know, we can just go back to being friends. That's not how that works. You need time to heal. And you need time to get your mind right. And get that together. Especially when it's one-sided. When it's one-sided, look, you gotta pretty much know exactly when somebody's just being nice and not to read or misread in some of their actions. I know a lot of people do things that we may like or would like for our person to do, but know exactly, like, you know, how to read their actions, how to take it from a very gentle standpoint. But if you do happen to have those blind spots, because we all have them, baby, we're human. Check yourself. Have a conversation. And let's hope that they're mature enough to help us and affirm us and support us on our space that we do need to take. Because we need to take that space, okay? You know, and hopefully they still want a friendship with us after we're ready to be friends with them. And for the people who are on the stage where I was, you know, where it was getting physical, or it probably has gotten physical, and everything's just very fucking gray. Oh, God, I would hope that rather it's a queer and hetero friendship dynamic, or it's just so messy. I would hope that they are able to respect your stance. I would hope that they are able to let you take some space away, because they're not going to just turn gay all of a sudden and just, you know, say, okay, well, you finally told me how you felt and now I'm ready to be gay. That's going to be a journey for them. And it's not guaranteed that they're going to ever get to the stage that you would like them to be at. So, you know, I mean, it's no guarantee. It's not unlikely, but it is pretty rare that that person eventually comes around and they are able to be the person that we want them to be, and we're able to be together and again ride off into rainbows together and everything like that. You know, so it's just, like I said, watching that episode of Jerrod Carmichael's show, I felt all of that. You know, at least with those two, they're both queer. But Tyler sees him as a brother. So that's a little different. You know, I kind of feel like if one of my best friends, who I look at as brothers, if they were able to get to a stage where they felt that way about me and told me about that, I mean, I would feel uncomfortable too, because I don't look at them like that. I look at them as a brother, but I would be able to verbalize that and to handle it with care. But also, I would suggest that it's best that we do take some time away from each other, because, again, you want me in a romantic way, not a platonic way. And that's going to take some time, especially if I'm not feeling the same way for you. So I just want us all to practice communication, practice self-awareness, practice emotional maturity, practice patience, grace, practice understanding and awareness, but most importantly, practice acceptance. Please. Okay. But I'm curious. Let me know, because I want to hear y'all's story. Like I said, I can't believe I actually finally told that story. And again, I gave y'all the full SparkNotes, child, not all the nitty-gritty. Y'all gonna have to wait to see that at a later date. Okay, wink, wink. But make sure to like and subscribe to Nude Radio, streaming on all platforms where you can hear podcasts. Follow me on Twitter/X at Nude Radio 101, and follow me on Instagram under the same handle at Nude Radio 101, and send those messages to me about your experiences where you may have fallen in love with a friend or a friend has fallen in love with you. How did you do it? How did you communicate that? How did you react? How did you respond? Like, what? Tell me all the tea, baby. But go ahead and send it over to my personal page at Kenny Heflin on Instagram and share this episode with your faves. And I will see you guys on the next episode of Nude Radio. Bye.